Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
There's a lead pass. In on goal, McDavid. Scores! 3-1 Canada.
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field. Going back, Marquise Grissom. He's got it. Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
There's a shot. They
the 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ball game in the bottom of the ninth inning. The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions.
And now, here's your host, Elliott Price.
Losses for Canada and Brazil in women's soccer today at the Olympics. Much hope for gold down the tubes. Tougher loss for the home country, the Brazilians losing in penalty kicks, but both entered with the same dream. The next loss, however, is the deepest cut of all. There is no worse place at the Olympics than fourth place. The contrasting pictures that came in the same 24-hour window earlier in the games telling you all you need to know about how close those places are and how far away. The sheer overwhelming glee of Penny Oleksiak in winning a bronze, and the visible sadness in Canadian diver Jennifer Abel falling short and coming away without a medal, fourth in the world, and nothing. And damn if it didn't happen to the poor girl again a few days later. One thing to keep in mind after watching plenty of disappointment at the games, and that includes Canada's pole vaulting medal hopeful Shaughnessy Barber, who didn't make it through preliminaries last night. Partly wind, partly rain, partly a rare moment of self-doubt. These are all champions with greatness to look back on. Each and every one of these athletes that didn't win a medal fought off thousands as regional, provincial, and national champions to represent their countries, and with a path to the Olympic Games to be with and compete with the greatest athletes of their generation. Okay, sports psychologists, back to work. Show Elliott Price, Grant Robinson. Nice to be with you on this Tuesday night as the Olympics roll along. Disappointment for Canada. There's still a medal in the offing. It's not going to be easy for the women's soccer players. Much disappointment for them right now. They faced a very good team, and this is what the basketball team will be up against tonight as well. Only they won't be playing for a medal if they lose tonight, and they're a 5-point underdog against France. This Canadian team, the soccer girls, were the best team in this tournament through the preliminaries. And they were asked to do Herculean work. They knocked off three of the top five countries in the world. And then they were asked to do it again. And an early goal is a killer. It was good for them when they got it. But it hurts. And it was a mistake. And that's the way it goes. Not a mistake on anybody but the Canadians. And man, you give up a goal early like that, and it's really difficult to fight your way back. And that's the way it goes.
4 years ago, was you felt like you had been screwed over, right? You looked at it, you thought it was a bad call. There was no question this time. It was the right call. Bad decision. It happens, but it was definitely sad to see it end like that.
Well, they should put in a call to the women rugby sevens. You know, I mean, they got they lost their semifinal, and they sucked it up and got it together, and they had to do it on the same day and took care of Great Britain, who had beaten them earlier, and they won the bronze medal. So they, I mean, there are girls there that weren't there 4 years ago that a bronze medal is going to mean a lot to. And 4 years from now, it's going to mean a lot to them, having been in the place they're in right now. So we'll see. We'll see what happens when they come out. The Canadian basketball team just has to play better. I understand they got taken out by the United States. Everyone does. Well, they won like 46 in a row or 47 or whatever it is now. But they have to fight their way back in against Spain. And they can't afford to fall behind. They keep doing that, and they're very good at coming back, but it just doesn't work all the time. They need to stay with it. Very much looking forward to that, and that will take place in an hour and 9 minutes. And we'll keep you up to date on what's going on with that. Meanwhile, we'll talk about Canada's soccer game today and what's ahead with Jorge Sanchez. He's the coach of Concordia, the women's soccer players, so that makes sense. Andrew Berkshire will talk hockey, of course. Vessi's a free agent. Montreal Canadiens are, you know, at one point...
They're the only name that's not really coming up yet.
No,
I haven't seen them. Usually, you know, the top teams, and there's names coming out. The Islanders now, the Flyers.
But that's just
Detroit
Vessi.
Tried.
There are, I mean, this yesterday was a date not only for him. Right?
There's other guys,
there's
absolutely.
15 to 20 guys that are out there that were drafted not that far off from Vessi. Obviously, they weren't Hobie Baker winners. And who knows if any of them will be significant players, but they're getting phone calls right now, and we'll see. And, of course, it's time to start thinking about what your Montreal Canadiens look like for 2016-2017.
It's getting close.
Management's thinking, what are the lines? And this is huge, because last year, coach could play around, right? I mean, everything was hunky-dory. It was lovely. That's not the case right now. He can't afford to fool around. He can't afford to lose games and have people say, you should be doing this and that, and him going, nah, it's all right, because losing games for the coach right now is a losing job proposition.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question. There's nobody else to blame. You shipped out what you said was the problem, right? Now you got a player that you want. I mean, it's time to win games or you won't be there long.
Just after 9 o'clock, our NFL countdown continues, and that's it. We're done with the bottom half. We're going to go where the rich live after today. I think we're going where the rich live today, but that's a different story. Team number 17 with our NFL insider, Daniel Kalis. Just after 9 o'clock, and we'll find out what's going on in the Canadian Football League with Darren Gill. And a significant announcement in Ottawa today concerning the Ottawa Senators. We'll find out about that as we march along. I want to remind you about the best. It's always good to be the best. So we aligned ourselves with a gold medalist. It's Olympic time. Monsieur Drain. He is an award winner. That's right. You made him an award winner. You've given him the Consumer Choice Award for three consecutive years because he knows what he's doing. And he does it better than anybody else and quicker than everybody else. And that's where the money saving comes in. Not only do you get the job done right, but Monsieur Drain will make sure it's done tout suite. And that'll save you a whole lot of money. How does he do that? He's got the magic camera inspection, so he'll know exactly what's going on down there, and he'll be able to figure it out faster than anybody else. Monsieur Drain, 514-640-0070, or head to monsieurdrain.com. Grant, what's the number?
Stop asking me this number. I got it in my phone. It's ready.
514-640-0070.
I got you.
514-640-0070.
I didn't realize you were asking me again the last time.
I'm
going
to ask you again tomorrow.
All right. You know what? I'm in the young generation. We program the numbers in. We don't remember the numbers. It's in the phone. I can't even tell you my girlfriend's number at this point. It's her name on the phone.
But you lived with her.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I don't call. Cell phone.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Give Monsieur Drain a call. It's a number that Grant can't remember. We'll take a look at everything that's going on in the world or inside Grant's head, aside from his girlfriend's telephone number, coming up on the opening face-off. All right.
Ready.
Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price, CFMB 1280 AM, Montreal.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Some interesting stories around the Olympics yesterday. A little different, but for the beginning, we got to start with Team Canada's women. I mean, you've already touched on it, obviously. But look, after losing today to Germany 2-0 and playing in the bronze medal game now when they were 4-0, look like they could do them. They've already beaten the Germans, right? Does this end up being a disappointment for Team Canada's women overall this season for the soccer team? Or was this a successful Olympics, considering where they started?
It turns out to be a disappointment today. Okay? Look at their ranking in the world. The thing is that because they beat these other countries that were ranked higher than them, I'm sure that they thought a gold medal is in their sight. They just, you know, they went up against one tough customer after another. They were ranked behind all of these countries.
They could have lost all those games.
And it's still possible that they're going to lose to Brazil and not win a medal, and that will hurt. But what a run-up to this semifinal they had. They just played marvelous soccer, and I know that they'll be disappointed, but even if they don't win a medal, this should not be looked at as a disappointment. They had a great Olympics. It's really difficult. You know, it's a goal here.
The bounces to get here, yeah. Right? And like you said, that's the key to remember. Look, I know it hurts today because, look, you see Brazil lose, and then you start thinking, well, look, Sweden's not a powerhouse. This could be a gold if they win today. But again, this team could have not even made it out of group play, and it would have been almost expected. Like you said, 10th-ranked team. They beat the 2nd, 3rd, and 5th in the world. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that they did better. They made it further than the U.S., which were the top team. That's a disappointment, right?
Yeah.
I really think they have a lot to be proud of. It does suck because, like you said, they had built up the expectations because of how well they played. But again, definitely not a disappointment, so we agree there. This one, I'm not sure if you saw it, but did you see the 5,000-meter race?
I did not.
Well, one of the girls, there was a collision.
Okay.
I'll explain it first. It was a collision, and then she helped her get up. Okay. It was one of those, right? We've seen them in the past. But are people making too big of a deal about the women's 5,000-meter incident when they saw New Zealand's Nikki Hamblin helping Abby D'Agostino from the U.S. up after their collision by saying this might be the defining moment of these Olympics because it captured the Olympic spirit?
Oh, I wish people could see
That's
you.
That's what people are saying.
I wish people could see you delivering that line. Man, are you jaded.
Well,
I'm just saying, I know which way you're leaning. What's the matter with you?
Well, hold on. Do I love
you
these moments?
You gave the quotations there. You gave
well, they
the,
say the oh, Olympic just spirit.
They didn't. If they would have scripted this incident, then
well,
I
then
would understand
agreed.
Your opinion,
agreed.
But they didn't. She
no, but
did
they're
that.
Not the ones saying it either, right?
I'm
not,
understand.
I think what they did was I love sportsmanship. I have no problem with it. But these same people writing this stuff that are saying it's...
I don't know about you, buddy.
Hold on. They're saying this is what the true Olympic spirit is, right? And it's helping? Then why is Michael Phelps giving a scowl to Chad LaClose? Oh, look at that competitive fire, how much he hates him. And he gives him the finger wagon. That's beautiful. That is against the Olympic spirit, is what you're telling me?
That's not the defining moment of the spirit of the Olympics.
I personally think that what defines these Olympics is Usain Bolt, Michael Phelps.
Hold on a second. Michael Phelps did not do this of his own volition. The other guy opened up his track.
Oh, agreed.
Okay,
agreed.
So he brought that upon himself.
I thought it was a nice moment. I'm not against the moment. I love... Do you remember
when
I think
you
it was
call
a father.
Out Tiger Woods and he beats you 9-8, Stephen Ames? That's bad. You know, shut up. No, I have no problem with what Michael Phelps did. The other guy earned it, and I have no problem with that being the moment that says this is what the Olympics are all about. And you, sir, are
I don't
a
think
jaded
that's what
customer.
They are about, though. It's about top competition.
Everybody missed your body language there.
So would you rather Andre DeGrasse win a medal in the 200-meter or trip and pick up Usain Bolt after he falls and then he brings him in? What are we more proud of?
What are you talking about? It's nonsense.
You know what the worst part is?
That's the same as what...
I've read about this article all day. Yeah. You know what the worst part is? I've read four different articles on it. Nobody mentions who won the race, at all.
Nobody cares who wins the 5,000. These two finish last,
and they make it now. They make it to the finals while one girl's knee is finished. She couldn't even make it. I will say this about the moment. I do like that she helped her get up. You trained 4 years for this race. Yeah. The finishing, even though you're a minute behind everybody else, is very important, right? That feeling... Do you remember the dad who did it? Didn't a dad come out of the crowd when somebody, his son had gotten...
Right.
Like, that I remember. That's his son. Like, he cares. This is... The girl fell. She knows you're going to finish second last, and you're the reason she fell. You got to look good somehow, you know? I think it was... I'm not buying it. Put it that way. I'm not buying it. This one's another question involving sportsmanship, okay? Yesterday, in the 400 meter... Shawn A. Miller from the Bahamas upset American, the favorite, Allison Felix, by diving forward at the finish line as Felix was gaining on her quickly. Now, a lot of people are saying this is unfair. It's not sportsmanship to dive across the line. Do you believe that, or do you say anything's fair? It's whoever crosses the line first.
Really?
People are very upset about her diving across, saying, well, so Felix could have dove and won. But that's so you could have... What's the difference between a dip?
So wait a minute. This is a 400-meter
race.
Right, and they're running, right? And instead of running the last step, she dove over the line.
It looks almost like a fall, honestly.
Okay. I hate to tell you, but diving gets you there slower than running.
It's your last step. Now, she leans forward, and I agree. If she doesn't do it, she probably lost.
For all the idiots that slide into first base head first... it gets you there slower than running through the bag. So
unless you land with your finger.
It slowed her down. So everybody that is commenting on this and saying it's unsportsmanlike, no, it's stupid.
The other thing I'll say is the other thing I'll say, if she just fell, right, and it's not a dive, does she get disqualified? No. So what's the difference? I mean, to me, this is good.
I don't know.
Did you see the swimmer almost drown someone?
Next time, I want you to bring in some of these complainers. I want to talk to them,
all right,
you know, face to face.
We will do that. Okay? Did you see the swimmer almost drown the other swimmer at the finish line?
Now that's against the rules.
She was disqualified.
I think if you drown someone, right?
Well, not a drown, but she literally, you see her put her arm on top of the girl's back and push her under right in the finish line. It was great.
That sounds like water polo.
That's Olympic spirit to me. That's Olympic spirit.
That's the dirtiest sport going, eh? Water polo?
Oh, man.
See what goes on under the water?
I couldn't even float like that. I don't know how they do that. That's the hardest sport.
Yeah.
You couldn't even put me in there.
No.
Give me some floaties. Maybe I'll be able to. This one's a little lighter. I just thought it was an interesting story. Preseason football.
you've been busy, huh?
Preseason football, very rare that there's some interesting headlines. Let's be honest.
Preseason football, very rare that there's some interest.
There you go. Fair. So Titans, to try to gain some interest and make some money, allowed fans to pay in an auction to call the first two plays of the game. So Titans fans called the first two plays of the game Saturday night, ended up being a 15-yard run and a 31-yard pass.
Oh.
The new offensive coordinator and the new head coach come up with the next three plays, total of 5 yards. Now, do you think, if you're the Titans, do you do this again? Because you made $20,000 to do that, right? Do you do this again? Or does this make your coaches look bad when that happens? It's a lose-lose as far as I'm concerned when it comes to that.
I say fire the coach.
Let the fans pay.
Let the fans...
to call the plays.
That's right.
Money saving.
You give an aptitude test, right? And you find out who can answer the most questions correctly. And then, and look, in this day of technology, you know, you give the fans, 1,000 fans, a little computer to call the play, and the quarterback's sitting there with it. And it's the same thing as the guy talking in his headphones, right? And he gets the play on the computer in the huddle, and then they go out.
So it's like the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire when you ask the audience, what's the next play? Whatever has the most percentage. I think that would go poorly.
I'm trying to remember. Something like that happened in baseball where they...
they let like somebody do
that. I don't know. Where they change the manager every day or something stupid. I don't know. I think it's probably something that Bill Veeck did. You know that, speaking of Bill Veeck, and we're way off subject here.
That's okay.
They once had a good old Joe Early night. Do you know what that is? Because they used to have, like, a player would retire, right? Like Derek Jeter, and they'd give him a vacation and a car and then a this and a that. And this guy, Joe Early, wrote into to the baseball team, and he says, why is it always the players? Why don't you give something to the fans? Why don't you make a fan a special night for one of us? And, and so they had good old Joe Early night. He was a fan. Joe Early wrote the letter, and they had...
That's actually amazing. Like, that Joe Early is very happy he wrote that letter.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
We're going a little late. Look, last question. I'm going to save one for tomorrow. Senators announced yesterday, major hockey announcement, right?
Tomorrow's a whole new day.
I agree.
Never save for two.
No, but it's one that'll be more fitting for tomorrow.
All right, go ahead.
Senators announced a major hockey announcement. Remember this yesterday?
Yeah.
Comes out today.
Yes, I know. We're going to hear from all of those people in a couple of minutes.
Daniel Alfredson number retired.
Oh, way to give it away.
Oh, I'm sure nobody heard
nobody
this. I thought there was a trade.
No,
there was a firing,
didn't.
A hire.
Is this
you're
your
retiring
first day?
A number.
Is this your first day around sports?
The Senators are just, even the Canadians, who are the kings of retiring numbers, don't call it a major announcement when they do it. They make it a big thing. But
it's Ottawa. Right?
So this is like the... So it's because they've never had this, really.
Look, in Ottawa, they hang up, we went to the finals banners. Okay?
It's true. They're not as lucky as Montreal.
Or they hang up the Ottawa Silver 7 from 1910.
And we won the division.
Okay. That's right.
I get what you're saying.
A lot of teams put those up when you don't
have Stanley Cups. You got to fill up the rafters. It's true. You got to find ways, I guess. And it's not bad. I guess you get to put up the second best Swedish player in Ontario. That was a Matt Sundin.
You like that?
Little jab. I feel very good. Very good.
At least he started his career and finished, somewhere else.
And that's
played most of his career. You know, Sundin was a Quebec Nordique.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's it.
The opening face-off with Elliott Price and Grant Robinson.
All of that nonsense brought to you by Lester's Deli. Lester's Deli can bring it themselves, my friend. Got a party? How about the tradition and experience of 65 years of making smoked meat? Perfect. Put you at ease. A party of what? What do you got? 10, 50, 100, 1,000? Lester's Deli has everything to take care of any amount. The bread, the mustard, the pickles, the coleslaw. If smoked meat isn't your thing, or perhaps you should call someone about that. It may be a problem. But they have other things. They do. Some great stuff. But you want the smoked meat because it's the best anywhere ever. It's perfect. Everything you need for party perfection. Lester's Deli. Out of your kitchen, like you were at Lester's Deli at 1057 Bernard. They'll deliver to your party. Call them at 213-1313. You can't do better than 65 years of love, tradition, and the Lester's Deli experience. Voices coming up next. Everything you need to know about that really, really big press conference in Ottawa today. All the big voices and the huge news next. It's time for Voices on Sportsnet tonight. Big game coming up for Canada in 45 minutes. Canada and France. Dwight Walton joined us yesterday.
It's going to be a good game to watch. They just beat France, I want to say, a week or 10 days ago in New York at Madison Square Garden. So that should give them a little bit of confidence. And as Montreal's Lisanne Murphy has said, who happens to play professional basketball in France, they have a nice little rivalry going with the French team. So this is what sports is all about. And they are looking forward to that quarterfinal match.
As we all are, Canada and France, 9:15, an opportunity to get into the medal round. Meanwhile, the big announcement today in Ottawa, big press conference at 2:30. Here's Ottawa Senators owner Eugene Melnyk.
So after nearly a year of work by the committee to establish this required structure and protocols to our honoring program, we held our first nomination review meeting in May of this year. The outcome of that meeting yielded a unanimous decision by our committee to select Daniel Alfredson as the first ever player to be honored under this program.
Oh, are we on the air? Owner of the Ottawa Senators, Eugene Melnyk, they're going to retire his number. Here's General Manager Brian Murray.
I've been really fortunate to coach a lot of great players, a number of Hall of Famers over my career, and I can tell you there's none better than Daniel Alfredson. Work ethic, character, the way he played the game. He played right, and he led the right way with many of the young players. Now, Daniel, you have more time to spend with me, and as I said, we'll have lots of advice for the people that we don't have to answer to, really. I think it's a great thing for the organization to have him be an advisor and a helper, and I know the coaches will benefit greatly from him as well. And I would just like to say congratulations to Daniel. Thank you very much for everything that you did for me and for the Ottawa Senator organization.
It sounds really good when Mr. Melnick and Murray and Gord as well talks so nicely what I achieved, all the goals and points, and you know, I played for a long time. You got to get old to be able to do that, but nothing would have been possible without the teammates, the coaches, the staff, you know, family, parents, from an early stage. It's that's what comes to mind when I was told that I was going to get this honor.
All right, there you go. Daniel Alfredson. In a game against the Red Wings. So the team that he went to when he should have stayed in Ottawa. I'm just saying, I don't know. Anyways, good on them. They're going to retire his number. He's going to stay with the organization. Excellent. Shea Weber's coming to the Montreal Canadiens, and you want to make nice. Going to make nice with everybody, you know, in Montreal. And so we thank NHL.com and Habs TV for a portion of their segment, Ask Shea Weber.
Al from Twitter asks, are you going to bring the Expos back to Montreal? well, Al, that's been a goal of mine for years, so I don't know. It's obviously, I love baseball, and I'd love to see a team here in Montreal, but I don't think, honestly, I have any pull with that.
Hey, it's been a goal of his for years. Nicely done. But look, get some pull. Come on. You're Shea Weber. Do you know who you are? All right. Finally, on Voices Tonight, what the hell are they talking about? Edition number 10. Thank you, Daniel Iorio. Make us look ridiculous. Blaze of greatness. Take in the experience. I had a hamburger. Don't be fooled by imposters.
Go ahead. You've earned this. You know, you're great.
Whatever. You try to fix it yourself, you could do some serious damage. You know, sometimes you just have that... We'll have some fun. Our secrets coming out next.
It always seems we'll be somehow tied together. It shows we both work on it instead of just winging it. Yeah.
Just kind of happens. We're creating something special. It's as good as it's going to get, right? He's tanned and you panicked.
I wouldn't be upset if he was. Whatever you look at, you noticed him. He was what I wanted most. I couldn't get it. So I think it's over. There will be no going back.
Wow. It's not so much that you didn't go to see him, but you know what? I really don't know.
There's people very strongly against it. There's people very strongly for it.
Go figure.
What side were you on?
None. Nobody really knows what's going on.
To me, that's a yes.
No! No! He never lived up to the spark.
But he still put up. You don't agree?
I would stop now.
I loved it, personally. You don't agree with that?
It's brutal. I said, what do you say to people who say to you, dude, what are you doing? I would say, I like it. Okay? That's the bottom line.
About your daddy and your mother and your crazy ex-lover. We talk about your friends and the places that you've been. We talk about your skin and the dimples on your chin, the polish on your toes and the run in your holes. And God knows we're gonna talk about your clothes. You know, talking about you makes me smile. But every once in a while, I wanna talk about me, wanna talk about I, wanna talk about number one. Oh my, me, my, what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. But occasionally, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me.
Hot talk about me. Toby Keith, you're a nut. Hi. There's your version of Voices for Tonight. What the hell are they talking about? They don't know what they're talking about, but don't worry about it. We got someone who does know what he's talking about. Well, first, Grant Robinson, tell you what's going on in the world of sports, and then we'll find out what happened to Canada's soccer team. Earlier today, with Jorge Sanchez, he'll break it down. It's time now for a Sportsnet Tonight Sports Update with Grant Robinson.
Today, Team Canada's women's soccer team faced Germany in the semifinals for the rights to play for gold. Despite playing well in the first half, one mistake cost them as a horrible tackle by Buchanan gave Berenger a penalty kick to make it 1-0. Canada was never able to get an equalizer, and later Germany scored a back-breaking goal to win 2-0. Canada has a lot to be proud of, though. 10th-ranked team in the world, went 4-0 before this game, beating three of the top five teams in the world, so the ladies can definitely hold their heads high. They will play Friday at noon versus Brazil for the bronze, as Brazil lost earlier today to Sweden, and I'm sure Hope Solo will enjoy watching Sweden in the finals versus Germany, as she said they would have no chance. So again, good win for Sweden. Canada will still play for bronze there. Speaking about the women's team's basketball, set to play tonight in the quarterfinals. We will keep you updated on that. It's set to start in less than an hour, so that'll be there. Derek Drouin of Canada is in the high jump finals right now. He has cleared all four of his first jumps, so he's looking good there. Again, we will keep you updated. And earlier today, Andre DeGrasse continued to emerge as a breakout performer in these Olympics. He qualified for the semis, but what's really impressive is that he did so with the top time in qualifying. 20.09 was a season best for him. Canadian Aaron Brown also qualified with the 11th best time. In baseball, the Blue Jays currently trail 5-0 to the Yankees.
Ouch.
Two home runs by Gary Sanchez. It's currently delayed for rain in the fifth inning there. In the NHL, the Ottawa Senators had their self-proclaimed major hockey announcement today, and that announcement is they will retire Daniel Alfredson's number 11 jersey number.
Yeah, baby!
Say what you will, but he did lead the team in every major statistical category.
No problem with
since
his number being
out.
Retired. Ottawa is their best player ever.
So it's there. That'll be there, and we'll see that this season. And in the NFL, some bad news for the Buffalo Bills. Star defensive tackle Marcell Dareus will be suspended 4 games for violating the substance abuse policy, and that's a Sportsnet Tonight Sports Update.
We passed the audition.
All right, time now to find out what happened to Canada today. They're going to play for bronze, a win, and they would have played for gold. Canada's soccer team, and as usual, it's Jorge Sanchez, Concordia women's soccer coach. Hey, Jorge, how are you?
Good, and yourself?
Doing all right, kind of disappointed. I was looking forward to watching. Obviously, Canada came out well. They had the first opportunity of the game. And then what happened? Kadisha Buchanan takes out the opponent instead of the ball. Was that a mistake? Did she slide in the wrong place? What happened there that pretty much allowed Germany a free goal?
Kadisha Buchanan's a player who's known for her physicality, known for her strong tackling, and she got away with a few similar tackles against France that weren't called for penalties, although a lot of people thought they should have been. It was a bad decision. The player's running away from goal, doesn't really have control of the ball, and she went in too harshly in an area that really wasn't necessary and gave up an early goal, and that forced the Canes to play catch-up from that moment on.
I'm trying to think in professional sports a more crushing penalty than the one that Canada received. And look, I have no complaints. The penalty would seem justified, and those are the rules. But man, oh man, you're pretty much giving the other team a goal. And goals are hard to come by, as we saw in the game that preceded it. That is a crushing penalty.
It is. Anytime you give a penalty, especially early in the game, you're giving the other team a free shot at net, where more often than not, it ends up in the back. So you don't want to be making decisions early in the game. What's the worst case scenario? the German player would have gotten her foot on the ball, deep in the box, not really a goal-scoring chance, and then you just gave them a freebie. And now it forces your team to play catch-up, something Canada really, really wasn't keyed up to do this game.
All right, so but you're 20 minutes in and you have 70-something minutes to go. How did Canada handle themselves in that catch-up role in today's game against Germany?
Well, at the end of the game, the statistics showed that Canada had most of the possession, and you know, but that stats kind of falsifies the reality of the game. Yeah, maybe Canada had possession of the ball, but they had possession of the ball in areas that weren't dangerous. They got away from some of the things that made them successful early in the tournament and started looking for quick strike balls up the field quickly into areas where either team could get them. They weren't playing with a sense of control. You could sort of see desperation creep in. And of course, as the game went further and further in, that sense of desperation just got more intense. And they were making sloppy mistakes, and that's really what hurt them today.
Grant asked off the top of the show, is this a disappointment? Are the Olympics a disappointment for Canada? And I was thinking, you know what, they already beat the second, the third, and the fifth ranked teams in the world. Sadly, they didn't win when a victory would get them a gold or a silver. But man, they played well coming into this one. You know, it's hard to be so harsh when they've played so well leading up to this point.
It's one of those things that if you would have sat at the draw, looked at the draw before the Olympics and said, you know, Canada's going to make it to the semifinals, having beaten Germany, having beaten France, you would have been happy with it. But it's set up as an opportunity because they beat Germany for the first time in 13 years. They beat France. They see the U.S. get eliminated. They see Brazil lose to Sweden. It's almost like the door was opening to get them into the final and going for a gold medal. And then they didn't put their best game. And that was the difference. I really think Germany just found a way to be a little more decisive in the key moments, regardless of what was going on in the game.
Talking with Jorge Sanchez. He's the University of Concordia women's soccer coach. We're talking about Canada's loss today against Germany in the semifinals. So much like 4 years ago, they're in the bronze medal game, but 4 years ago they were a team full of fire and brimstone, believing that they should have gone to the final, believing that they were jobbed out of a victory against the United States. They were beaten this time, and so now they have to gather themselves up and play for bronze, and it has to be important to them. So what does a coach need to tell them anything? What would you do?
I think first of all the coach has to let them digest today's game. There's a moment in time, and he'll have the pulse of the group in front of him. He has to let them deal with the disappointment of today. You can't just, you know, minimize what happened today. They came into this Olympics hoping for something better, hoping to maybe end up in the gold medal game, and they didn't. So they have to go through the grieving process of the result, and probably tomorrow at some point he'll start looking ahead a little bit, and you know, a couple days before the bronze medal game, he'll start focusing on the facts. You know, what is it that made them successful up to this point? What do they have to do to beat Brazil? The good news is they played Brazil leading up to the Olympics about 3-4 weeks ago and got a result out of it. So he's got to focus on the things they did well on that game and remind them who they are, what they're good at, and focus on that.
How important is Friday's game, the bronze medal game, to define if these Olympics were a success? We already went over how disappointing it was to lose today and that it was really tough, but if they don't win that bronze, does it make it a disappointment, or does it not really matter what happens there? They've already overachieved.
I think disappointment comes from expectation. And as they got better game to game, everybody's expectations just got higher and higher. I think people are going to leave with a sour taste in their mouth that they had a 3-4 chance of getting a medal. If they come with a fourth place, there are going to be a certain percentage of the people, especially in the short term, are going to see it as a disappointment. I think it's still a good result if they finish fourth, thinking of who they had to beat to get there. I just hope that if they can give a good result, I think they can beat Brazil. Now it's just a matter of being able to do it.
All right. What do you think of the final between Germany and Sweden?
I think it's two teams that are just very, very well coached. Sweden did what they had to do, regardless of Hope Solo's comments about the game. Every time they've played a game, they found a way to get the result they needed. And let's not forget, Brazil beat Sweden 5-1 in the round-robin play, and they shook that off. They weren't affected by the previous result. They just focused on today. I think Germany's a little stronger. I think Germany will go in as the favorite, But the way Sweden rebounded from that loss really shows that it's going to be two well-coached, disciplined teams. It's going to be a great tactical battle.
All right, Coach, thanks. Did a great job. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Thank you.
Jorge Sanchez, Concordia University women's soccer coach, as Canada looks ahead to a bronze medal game coming up in a couple of days. Derek Drouin hanging in there in the men's high jump. Canada's Derek Drouin from Ontario, and he has not lifted the bar once so far. He's been perfect, and so we have our fingers crossed. They're losing some guys here and there, but the Canadian is hanging in. We'll let you know what's going on there. Canada's basketball team, the women, in the match quarterfinals. That will get them to a medal game. 5-point underdog against France. It gives you an idea of where they stand vis-a-vis France. They beat them at Madison Square Garden a couple of weeks ago. So they know that they can do it. They need to step it up from the game they played against Spain. And we'll keep you up to date what's going on there as well. We'll talk hockey with Andrew Berkshire. Free agents that were set loose last night, including the VC kid who won the Hobie Baker that everyone's talking about. Andrew will join us next to talk hockey and Habs and NHL and all that stuff.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
All right, it's time to talk some hockey. Always good to talk to Andrew Berkshire, and he'll be along in just a moment. Want to remind you, still to come tonight, we'll talk Canadian Football League with the CFL super agent, and that is Darren Gill. And we'll, of course, get to the last National Football League team in the bottom half. So starting to get serious, we'll have team number 17, Dan Kalis. Will join us just after 9 o'clock as we continue our countdown that will culminate in the number one team the day before the National Football League season gets underway, and that is September 7th for our pick, September 8th, a Thursday. The season will start, and you know what that means? That means with 17 teams still to come, there are 17 shows left before opening day in the National Football League.
It's like Bart Scott said, can't wait.
I can't wait. Can't
remember
wait.
That quote?
Yeah.
Loved it.
That's a good one.
Wait, are you
still about
playing? Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Lost.
Yeah. Well, so what? Well, he couldn't wait to play. He didn't, he couldn't wait to
he
lose.
He said, like, I can't wait to play him. He said it very aggressively and then lost embarrassingly.
Well, it's a 53-man unit. Quote. It's still, not one against one there. Well, you got to put that on him.
Hey,
what's the matter
with
you?
I don't complain when I sound stupid in the what are they talking about.
Yeah.
Bart Scott can't complain
but that's
when it's
made
his
up
own
stuff.
True.
Let's talk some hockey with Andrew Berkshire. See, that also means if National Football League is coming, that means hockey's coming, too. It's right around the corner. We're starting to get excited. Andrew, we're starting to get excited?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. Okay. Hey, how good is this Jimmy VC kid? I mean, we went down the list of Hobie Baker winners last night, and obviously the last two are very good. It's because they were very good. They're just starting to make their mark in the National Hockey League. But there were some who's this guys along the way. How good is Jimmy Vesey, and why are National Hockey League teams trying to break down his door to get him now that he's a free agent?
He's probably a lot better than the who is this guys on the list. He's obviously not going to be anywhere close to the guys like Jack Eichel or anything like that. He's not that level of talent. But from the people that I spoke to, because I haven't seen him play, but from the people that I spoke to that I trust, he seems to be a guy who can be a good second liner for the next few years of his career. You hope that he could become, you know, maybe even slightly better than that. But it seems to be one of those guys who's a really good value as a second-round pick. Unfortunately, he didn't want to play for Nashville, or he wanted to control his own destiny at least. So whoever gets him is probably going to be significantly better if they give him a chance to play.
Okay, so Nashville drafts him in the third round, 66th overall, and he doesn't sign with them. So why don't more players do this? They become free agents. They end up with more money. So why do guys... I don't understand. It seems to me that the National Hockey League is a foolproof system where you can't lose these guys, but they do. So what happened here?
I'm not sure why more players don't do it, because I believe there's two different outs when you go to college. It's your third year out where you have to, where you're a UFA. I believe that's what Jimmy Vesey did, his third year, and you're a UFA August 15th. And after 4 years, you can also choose not to sign. It's an interesting question, because there is no real reason that you could think of that players wouldn't take that free agency route. Maybe they're afraid of being blackballed if they're not quite good enough. You definitely have to be confident in your abilities to go, unrestricted in your early 20s. That's a big deal. And, you know, you only have a max contract that you're allowed to get. So it's not like you can go unrestricted and not get an entry-level deal and make a ton of money. You have that cap on you, so it's more just a choice of destination. But I guess for whatever reason, in professional sports in North America, players are very accepting of the draft for the most part, and who picks you, that's who you sign with.
All right, so drafted by Nashville. Buffalo owned his rights till midnight last night. He's from Boston. His dad works for Toronto. Chicago's calling. New Jersey's calling. What do you know?
Well, from what I heard today, he wants to stay close to home, which that says Boston to me. There's not really, I mean, there's lots of short flights in and around that area, so you could say he could be in the Atlantic or Metropolitan Division, except for the two Florida teams, but that would suggest that Chicago doesn't really have a high priority for him if it's all about staying home.
If you were him, forget the home part for a second, right? What fit would you want to go to? What team that's coming with their pitches? Look, Toronto's bringing Austin Matthews. Chicago, you obviously know what their selling point is. Pittsburgh's calling with Crosby and Malkin. What's the brightest spot to go?
Well, I think Chicago's always a great spot, because they've shown that they can seamlessly put young guys in the lineup and continue to have success. And losing Tuukka Rantanen, and you know that there's going to be a spot worth fighting for there. Although I believe they also have a young kid, Schmaltz, I think his name is,
yep.
Who's eyeing that spot, and he's incredibly good, really, really good young player. So that might not be a spot that, you know, he believes that he can win on merit. So I would look at Toronto simply because they're a team on the rise, and by the time BC hits his prime, Toronto might be ready to go there as well. But honestly, in terms of best fit, probably it would have been Nashville. If he would have joined the league last year during the playoffs, they had a good team going. They need forward help pretty desperately along their depth areas, like the lower end of the second line and third line. They need offense there. He could have fit there perfectly, but I think that bridge might be burned now.
We're talking hockey with Andrew Berkshire, contributor to Sportsnet and RDS.ca. Montreal Canadiens, and we're starting to get closer to the season. And I would imagine, the guys, they're in their office, and they have these nameplates, and they're moving them around. They're thinking about who's going to be playing with who, and they're getting their minds ready for the season. There's no more messing around here, right? I mean, all the criticism, oh, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. No, I'm not. These are jobs on the line right now. The coach and the general manager have staked their jobs on the trades that were made this year. And I wonder, now we know that if things don't go well, the coach is in a whole lot of trouble. Now the GM has a long-term contract, but that doesn't mean you can't replace him. His money does not count against the cap, so you don't have to worry about that. So I wonder what kind of, how much rope this guy has.
I think they have quite a bit of rope, because obviously, Mark Bergevin believes in Michel Therrien, and he made a big bet this summer on that coach, basically. First of all, not moving on from him at all, and then, you know, moving away the player that he didn't seem to have agreements with. I don't think that either of them are in any real danger of being fired, simply because I don't think the Canadians will have a repeat of last season, and all they need to do to satisfy a lot of fans is just make the playoffs. A lot of people think the team isn't very good. I think that they have a very strong roster outside of, you know, losing some talent on the defense this summer, but they still have a good roster overall. And, you know, with Carey Price behind to stop whatever mistakes do happen, they're not in a bad situation. They're probably still one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, which is, you know, the slightly weaker conference as well. It doesn't have a bunch of big contenders like the Western Conference does. So, you know, are the Canadians going to win a Stanley Cup? I don't think so, but I don't think there's any panic right now going on in the organization or around it about what they're going to do this year. I think they'll probably be, you know, like a 95 to 100-point team.
It seems to me that Radulov is a course changer. If he comes in, because let's face it, the Montreal Canadiens have been searching, and the general manager's right. They're very difficult people to find. Look, it's your job. I understand that, but it's a tough thing to find guys like that. And somehow, somewhere out there, he may have found one. And this is exactly what this hockey club needs.
Absolutely. He's a big game talent. Although one issue with Radulov, I was out of internet range for most of this weekend, so I'm not sure if it's been resolved. But I had a friend of mine who's media in Russia said that Radulov has had some visa issues, so he hasn't been coming over yet. So I wonder if that's a situation that we'll have to watch going forward.
All right. Well, you know, if he doesn't play golf, I think it's going to be okay. How long can it take? You know, we're talking it's the middle of August, and the Canadians need him in the lineup in October. So
we hope so.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Latin ball player thing, right? They have visa issues because they have visa issues. You know, I don't know. saw Carey Price in full equipment. This is good news, right? I mean, they've been telling us, but this is the thing. They told us a lot of things last year when it came to Carey Price. So it's, you know, I'll believe my eyes when they see what I wanted to see.
Yeah, when you watch Carey Price slide side to side and not grimace, then I think that's when you know he's good to go. And that was the big thing last year. Even when he came back from his injury and they said that he was okay, and he played those, I guess, two games and two-thirds. Every time he slid side to side, he looked like he was in extreme pain. He was falling over a lot, and then all of a sudden he was injured again. Clearly, he wasn't recuperated properly. When he can do that and we can see it, obviously our first chance will be the World Cup. Then we can say, okay, maybe Carey Price is back. But still, I think everyone's going to be a little bit nervous anytime somebody comes near the net this year, because how many years in a row now has Carey Price been out with an injury by the end of the year? I believe it's four straight. So that's not a good feeling for your franchise player.
All right. Before we let you go, because Michel Therrien had his press conference, and he was talking about all the Canadians. And look, a lot of teams have a lot of players that are playing in the World Cup. The thing that scares you the most is that someone's going to get hurt. And the Canadians are looking at it as, or at least they're saying, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for their players. And you know what? It has been good for players in the past, the ones that don't get hurt. It's been good for the players in the past, more getting a good start on the season than it is about players later on getting tired because of it. So it seems to me that it's good to have your players play in that thing.
Well, I think it also speaks to the quality of your players as well. Like, that's good as well. I think that the guy who's going to benefit most from it is going to be Max Pacioretty. I mean, we all remember the injury that hampered him around the middle of the summer last year that he never really fully recovered from. He lost his speed. I think him coming out of the gate on fire this year, because he's already been playing competitive hockey in September, will be a big difference maker for the Montreal Canadiens.
Andrew Berkshire, always nice to talk hockey. Come back soon.
Absolutely. Nice talking to you guys.
right, we're bouncing. We're bouncing. We're watching the Canadian kid in the high jump. And there's more. The Ukrainian just fell by the wayside, and he looked good. He looked good. So I don't know, how many are we down to? Do we know? Freddie, what are you doing? Freddie, you're supposed to be watching this, supposed to be keeping an eye on this. How many? What's left here? Two or three guys. You're guessing, right? You guessing?
That was an absolute guess, but he gave you an answer. I respect it. Okay. And he sounded confident.
Okay, there's two or three guys left, and one of them's Canadian. If that's the case, we've got a medal, right? I can do the math. All right. Everything else that's going on in the world of sports is coming up. We'll talk to our football insider, Daniel Kalis, as we get the last team in the bottom half. We're going to be halfway done after tonight. Is your team in the bottom half? There's one left. Grant's update coming up.
So you're an expert.
That's right, tough guy.
Hey! Who is your daddy? And what does he do?
Zippo, nada.
Hey!
C'est moi.
Elliot. You're an expert.
Yes.
Elliot.
Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
You're not an expert.
Right here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
What do you mean I'm not an expert? He's got a rocket for an arm. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Aucune idée.
Time now for a Sportsnet Tonight sports update. Canada has won another medal. The only question is, how good is this medal?
Like you said, that's Derek Drouin, who's currently in the high jump finals. He just hit his fifth jump. He's now 5 for 5 so far and will guaranteed win a medal. Only question is which one. What that also means, as we just heard, is the first Canadian to win consecutive track medals in Olympics since 1932.
Holy moly, that's a long time.
We're making some records. Penny Oleksiak, you know, Andre DeGrasse, Canada. Maybe not stacking up the medals, but they're there, the impressive performances.
Right, Drouin won a bronze at the last Olympics, and he won the world championship last year. Mutaz Essa Barshim of Qatar. That looks to be his biggest competition. We'll keep you up to date.
We'll definitely keep you up to date with that. Speaking about good news when it comes to Canada, Andre DeGrasse continued to emerge as a breakout performer in these Olympics. He qualified for the semis in the 200 meter with the top time in qualifying. That means he had a better time than Usain Bolt, Justin Gatlin, literally everybody in the field. 20.09 was a season best for him, and Canadian Aaron Brown also qualified with the 11th best time. Not good news all around, however, as Team Canada women's soccer fell to Germany. They were 4-0 in the tournament, which is unheard of at men's or women's. Great start. Didn't end well today. They lose 2-0. The penalty kick goal in the first half obviously was really tough. 10th ranked in the world. They beat three of the top five teams in the world. They will play Friday at noon against Brazil for bronze, as Brazil lost to Sweden. Sweden will play Germany in the finals for women's soccer gold there. Women's basketball set to play in the quarterfinals tonight. That's about to go off, so we'll keep you up to date on that. The next update, we should have some news on what's going on there. And in baseball, the Blue Jays currently trail 5-0 to the Yankees. They had Marco Estrada on the mound, which is usually great news. Since the beginning of 2015, he's got the third best batting average for opponents in baseball, only Arrieta and Kershaw ahead of him. Not so much tonight. Three home runs, two by Gary Sanchez there. And Red Sox lead 3-0 versus the Orioles on a Betts three-run home run. If the scores hold, where Blue Jays lose and Red Sox win, there will be a three-way tie for first in the AL East.
All right, Drew has the only one not to miss at this height so far, and so it's looking good. The Ukrainian has knocked down the bar for the second time, so Drew has looking good. Maybe a gold medal in the offing, considering that the biggest moment of the Olympic Games for Canada when it was held here in Montreal was a silver medal in the high jump won by Greg Joy. Speaking of Joy, we are on the precipice of much. We'll talk football coming up next as we continue our countdown.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
Well, here we are. We have finally reached team number 17. That means we've cleared out the bottom half of the National Football League as we count it down to number one. The day before the National Football League season opens up, Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price, along with our football insider Daniel Kalis, will announce our number one team. But we're only at number 17, so halfway in team number 17. Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm all right, and you?
Doing good. Team number 17 is?
The Buffalo Bills.
Or as I like to call them, not the Oakland Raiders. Do you have any idea, like last year, where the Raiders would have been before the season started, what number they might have come in at? You know, something like, I don't know, 23 or 25 or something like that, or 28?
I've been going into last season because they sort of finished off the year before. They had some, you know, with Carr right. and Mac. People thought that they were onto something. So I think last year going into season, they probably would have been right where you said. Anywhere between 23 to 26 or so, they would have probably been right.
All right. Well, they're not tonight. The Buffalo Bills. So what's good about the Bills? Because here we are, and, you know, there's 16 teams behind them. 15 teams behind them. So tell us the good things about the Buffalo Bills and where things might go right for them this year.
Well, they've got a lot of skill. They've got a lot of skill in a lot of positions. They just have a lot of question marks with them, but they do have a lot of skill. They've got Sammy Watkins, the young wide receiver going into his third season, who really came on last year. In the second half of the year, he was really great. The young quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, last year got his first chance to start and, you know, had some ups and downs this season, but had some more ups. He got an extension for this year, and if he plays well, it's going to turn into a lot more money next year. So he's got a lot of reasons to play well again this year. The O-line is good. They've got some veterans, but their best player is out with a hamstring injury. Cordy Glenn, they say he'll be back by the season's start, so that should be good. On defense, they also have some playmakers. The problem is one of them just got suspended today, Marcel Darius, their nose tackle. He's supposed to be one of their better defensive players, and it looks like he's going to miss the first 4 weeks of the season, so that hurts, and that's already, you know, that. And they lost one of their first round picks, Reggie Ragland, the linebacker, as we discussed the other night. So they're not really good enough to be losing these players and to not have guys healthy, but they do have a lot of healthy guys. A lot of talented players. And if they can build on the 8-8 season last year, try to get up to, you know, 9 or 10 wins, they can definitely be in the mix for a playoff spot.
Well, we just talked about the defense, what you just mentioned in Marcel Darius, how much that'll affect. But I want to focus on the offense first here. Tyrod Taylor last year emerged as a starter. He was always a backup. Came in, actually had a very impressive season. He finally got his contract. I mean, the Bills definitely made him work for it. But what do you make of Tyrod Taylor this year? Can he get better, or was last year, you know, what we see is what we get?
No, I definitely think that there's more room to improve. You know, it was his first year as a starter. He also had some issues with some injuries, so that, you know, sort of stunted the growth a little bit. But I think there is more room to grow, especially as he, you know, the more time he gets to play and the more reps he gets to play with his guys like Watkins and Woods, and hopefully their free agent tight end they added last year, Charles Clay, can have a better season because he was a dud. They also got McCoy at running back, who, while it wasn't his spectacular season, he missed 4 games last year. You know, in the games that he was there and played, he produced and he helped the offense be more balanced, which is what Tyrod Taylor needs, because he's not a good enough quarterback to carry it on his shoulders. But if he gets a balanced attack, a good O-line play, he can improve. There's obviously room to improve. Like I said, he's motivated because he really wants to get that extension, you know, next year's extension picked up, because it's a huge amount of money. So I do think that there's room for him to improve and get better.
Well, if he is going to improve, one of the keys is going to have to be Sammy Watkins. Coming out of college, out of Clemson, he was a can't-miss prospect, really seen as a true number one receiver. Now, he's been very good, but he hasn't established himself as one of the top in the league yet. He's right on the borderline. Is this the year he becomes elite?
You know, I think they hope so. Look, the other thing with that is they also traded up to get him, so they gave up a pick, and that was in a very strong draft with other guys like Beckham and Mike Evans. Cooks, you know, he hasn't put up some of the numbers that those guys have had in either one of their first years. But last year, like I said, in the second half of the year he came on, he had a bit of a rough off season with some injuries, but he looks like he's healthy now. If he could just stay healthy and him and Taylor can just, you know, play the full season together, I think, you know, a lot of guys, a lot of receivers, third years of the year where their numbers just take a huge jump because they really finally get it. So I think that as long as he's healthy, yeah, this could be the year where he really makes that jump to being, like you said, from being just a good receiver to an elite receiver.
And sticking with the offense, look, we're rounded out. The running game is probably Rex Ryan's dream. I mean, McCoy, Williams, and Bush there, they definitely have no short of options. But do you still see LeSean McCoy as an elite running back? He was obviously in Philly. He wasn't bad in Buffalo. His problem is health. But if healthy, is he still elite?
I think so. And I think the fact that they have all these guys that you mentioned allows them not to overuse them. not to get him tired. His yards per carry actually went up from the year before. So, you know, while his overall, you know, total stats weren't better, he still was running the ball well. They got a good O-line. If Watkins is playing well and he's, you know, stretching the field and keeping the defensive honest, yeah, I think it's a good mix. They, like I said, he's a very skilled guy, and keeping him fresh with the other guys is going to be key because you don't want to overwork him. But no, I think he'll be one of the reasons that they do well if they are winning games.
Breaking news, gold medal for Canada. Bohdan Bodarenko trying to jump an Olympic record and didn't make it. And so he misses for the third time. And Derek Drouin of Canada wins the high jump gold medal. And Canada now with three gold medals at these Olympics. So congratulations to Derek Drouin, who now has the gold and will attempt to break the Olympic record. Doesn't matter if he misses. In fact, I think he gets three tries at it because he hasn't missed so far tonight. Buffalo Bills, anything left? National Football League, what do we have?
Well, look, this team, Rex Ryan-led team, they're going to be known for defense. Defensively, forget about the offense and even the suspension because Darius will be back. Where do you see this team ranking when it comes to defense? Obviously, the front seven's very strong. But do you see them as a top defense, average, a little above average? Where do they rank?
The truth is that that will be a loss if they feel, you know, at the beginning of the season. Hopefully, he'll come back fresh and have a chip on his shoulder and want to prove, show to the fans, you know, that he, you know, owns up to his mistakes. But the truth is that, like, as you said, Rex Ryan, he's made his bones on defense. They weren't as good last year on defense. They were better the year before. And the pressure's on him. The pressure's on everyone on that team to perform. They were 9-7 2 years ago. They go down to 8-8. He's got to have a better season. You got to expect the defense to be better. To be honest, the fact that he brought in his brother, I don't really think that helps him because I don't think his brother's a very good coach at all, and I don't know how that dynamic is going to work. But he better do better. Losing that first-round pick, Ragland, doesn't help, but let's see what he can do. He talks a big game, and it's going to be on him to make sure, you know, that defense does hold out, so it's not all on the offense and the young quarterback.
All right, anything happened in the National Football League aside from our Buffalo Bills being number 17 today? I mean, obviously, the Buffalo suspension today is the biggest news in the NFL.
Yeah, right now, that one of the talk over the last couple of days seems to be that, or what we discussed last night, the possible suspension of those guys from the Al Jazeera story. There's still some talk of how they're going to deal with it and what they're going to go do about it. Right now, it's been a little bit quiet. It'll probably be quiet. Some teams took some days off. Training camp for some teams has ended, and they've gone to their normal training facilities. And we'll probably see some bigger news. Hopefully, no major injuries for anyone. But you never know what happens in the next week's preseason games as they start coming up later this week.
Last question. Look, before I left, we had talked about the Tennessee Titans. I asked you what you thought about Dorial Green-Beckham. Today he got traded to the Eagles. Do you think that the Tennessee Titans gave up on him too early? Or do you think he really has proven that he's not going to make it?
Look, the truth is, since we're not there and we don't know what kind of, you know, guy he is, if he gives all his effort, if he has the right attitude, you know, some people are saying that the new GM didn't want him around, so he got rid of him because he's getting rid of some other players that the, you know, old guy drafted. The way I see it is this: the second round pick from last year, I don't think you want to get rid of a guy so quickly. For the Eagles, for a backup O-lineman, especially even after they've lost an O-lineman and they might have one suspended that they're willing to give this guy up, I can't imagine. He's very good. For the Eagles, I think it was a, you know, full upside move, no downside. They gave up nothing to get him. If this guy turns out to be as terrible as obviously Tennessee thinks he is, so they drop him and they cut him. If anything, Tennessee can lose out on the field because I can't imagine this O-lineman is really going to do anything. So good move for the Eagles, no downside. Maybe this guy turns into something. Maybe he realizes he needs to wake up and he's not going to get a free ride.
DK, thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Dan Kalis, team number 17. The Browns, the Niners, the Titans, the Ravens, the Lions, the Bucks, the Chargers, the Rams, the Falcons, the Bears, the Dolphins, Washington, Eagles, Saints, Cowboys, and the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo, stand up like a tower, tall, stand up.
So there you go. We got team number 17, and now we're moving into the good, from the good to the elite, right? Team number 16 will come tomorrow. How many teams make the playoffs there, Grant, in the National Football League?
Six in each.
So we're almost down. These are all, we're into playoff contenders now, right? It'll be the 12 teams that Daniel thinks are going to make the playoffs, but the teams on the fringe and the teams, you know.
That's going to get put up one day, by the way. There'll be another wild card team.
Yeah.
It's too much money to not make. You give first place a bye, make another wild card team.
Well, why not just put everybody in, you know? That would be so much easier.
I'm just saying it's money, right? It's money to be made. I never want to be the team sneaking in because you're not really going to have much of a chance, but I think it'll happen.
All right. I'll let you know what's going on with the baseball races and what's going on tonight in Major League Baseball. Still to come on the show, we'll talk Canadian Football League with our CFL super agent, Darren Gill, and everything that went down in Ottawa today as they get ready to retire the number of their greatest player. That's on tonight's Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price on CFMB 1280 AM in Montreal.
Price.
Is anybody listening? I'm emotional.
Price. Holy cow.
That's baloney.
Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
Ding, ding, ding.
Elliot Price.
C'est une déception.
Elliot Price.
I'm listening.
Elliot Price.
Saludos, my friends, and you know who you are. You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight with your host,
Elliot Price.
Ding, ding, ding.
Hi, right, welcome back, Canada, with another gold medal in high jump. And now it's up to the girls in basketball to see if we can get ourselves into a medal game. Canada against France in the early going. A nice start for Canada, up 13-7. And that's what we talked about. Don't be chasing. Don't be chasing. They did a whole lot of that, and it worked against Serbia in one of the great comebacks in Canadian basketball history. But ran out of gas against Spain. I mean, they were down 12. They got to 2, and then they had nothing left. So off to a good start against France. They're now up 13-7. Missed a free throw. 5 minutes and change left in the first quarter for Canada. So best of luck to them. We have our fingers crossed. We're talking about baseball scores tonight. We'll get to that in just a moment. Orioles just got a couple against the Red Sox. It was 3-0. It's now 3-2. Couldn't be tighter. In the American League East, the Blue Jays just struck for 3. So things are changing a little bit. One game separates 3 teams right now. The Blue Jays and the Orioles, I believe, are one game ahead of the Red Sox. And the Red Sox are playing the Orioles. And in the bottom of the 7th, the Orioles have scored 1. And they have the bases loaded with 1 out. So they're knocking on the door for more runs. Meanwhile, the Blue Jays have scored 3. And they are batting with 2 out and nobody on in the 6th inning. Russell Martin at the plate. So, I mean, what are we talking here? It's August 16th, and you got 3 teams
that could be
within
tied.
A game.
They will be, if Red Sox win and Blue Jays lose, it's a 3-way tie for first.
Yeah. So we'll keep you up to date on that and on Canada's basketball team. And something else I wanted to talk about, and we need to take care of this real soon. As we count down our National Football League teams, we are getting a prize ready for our National Football League pool. And I'm trying to figure out what to do here, because it'll be Grant and myself, Dan Kalis, Freddie Uni, and so there'll be a prize, but the prize will increase if you beat us.
Yeah, you got to beat us. That's the whole thing.
So, well, not Freddie.
Freddie's slow playing us. He's really a master.
I understand. But this is the thing. If Freddie beats you, then you have to send us a prize. Okay, that's the way that's going to work. Anyways, we'll set it up and we'll pass it along, and you'll be able to sign up. And we have to set up a pool that's going to allow how many people should we allow in our pool? This is the question. National Football League fantasy pool.
We might have to do two then. We might have to do a close one too with like 10 people because I got to see how you make trades. I got to see the trade proposal. That's how you judge somebody.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about a pool where in each bracket you have a certain amount of money. That way there's as many people as you want.
You have a certain amount of money and you get two trades a week. That's generally the one I sign up for, but you have to monitor because in these pools, people can't buy trades, and that's unacceptable. So we have to have the parameters, you know, decided early on. But in the next couple of days, we'll set it up. We'll tell you about it on Monday. How about that? So we'll search for the best possible pool. We'll determine the prizes, and all of our listeners and followers on Twitter are invited to join us in our National Football League fantasy pool, where there will be many prizes, and then we'll all meet at Lester's Deli and enjoy the prizes. Because I have an idea of what the prizes will be. So there you go. Are you in?
I'm like,
because Daniel Kalis has his next week and we have to work around because he's also the commissioner of his pool. And so we have to work around him one of those nights because his draft needs, you know, I'm thinking maybe because I said we do one team every night. And I thought maybe we'd hold the final three teams for the night before the season.
I'm okay with that. That works.
So if we get down to the final three and then on the 7th of September, we go with the final three.
I'm an addict, by the way.
A gold, a silver, and a bronze.
I'm in six keeper leagues alone.
That's crazy.
Forget new leagues.
So, but
it does get to be a lot.
Because we join these all of these ones that I'm telling you about, right, where you get two.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have 10 teams, right, Miles and I. And then we eventually stick to the one team that has the best chance.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Right?
Then
so
it
gets down to that, and we usually do okay. So we'll see. We'll see. I guess you're going to have to beat my son. Okay?
I feel no
offense.
It's not
basketball. It's all right.
he does his research. I could tell Miles will go in. Miles will probably have three magazines on the go at the same time. He's comparing the three.
Here's the thing. Miles and I did a baseball pool a few years ago, and then we did one the year after. And we set the parameters together, and he beat me both years. Okay? It's not acceptable. That's totally not acceptable. All right. Grant's getting an update ready, and we are getting ready to talk football, Canadian Football League, with the CFL super agent, Darren Gill. Canada's lead in the basketball game has dissipated to 2, and it looks like they're going to actually call fouls in this game tonight. The games with Canada that I've seen so far, very disappointed in the shooting fouls at both ends of the court. Man, if you work to get yourself in position to make a basket, and you go up and you have an opportunity to score, and they deny a scoring opportunity because of a foul, then you need to have that called. And that's upsetting me so far during Olympic basketball and what they haven't called. But Canada gets a free throw, and they make it, and we'll keep an eye on that. A gold medal for Canada and a whole bunch of other stuff. Grant with an update coming up in a moment. It's time now for a Sportsnet Tonight sports update, and the man with good news is Grant Robinson.
Well, you said it. Derek Dwayne has won gold for Canada. This is the third gold medal they have. Derek Dwayne won it in the high jump finals. He didn't miss a jump at all, actually, which was pretty impressive. And as we mentioned earlier, he is the first Canadian to win consecutive track medals in the Olympics since 1932, and it's not too bad when you do it with a gold. Men were struggling early. Women had won 12 straight medals for Canada. Now it's 2 for the men. We had Andre DeGrasse first, then Derek Dwayne, and Andre DeGrasse continued this with his breakout performance again of these Olympics. Qualified for the semis today with the top time in qualifying, 20.09. It's a season best for him. Obviously looking good heading to the semis there. So the men might be turning it around. Problem is, the women did hit a snag today. Women's soccer team faced Germany in the semis for the rights to advance to the gold medal game. They lost 2-0. Very tough loss, but nothing to be ashamed of. As the 10th ranked team in the world, the Canadian women went 4-0, beating 3 of the top 5 teams in the world. So definitely nothing to be ashamed of. Team Canada's women off to a good start versus France. In the first, they are up 20-16 with about a minute left. So a good start there. They're in the quarters looking to advance to the semis. We'll keep you posted on that. In baseball, the Blue Jays were trailing 6-0 to the Yankees, not looking good. Estrada had given up 3 home runs, but the Blue Jays have answered in the 6th. They now trail 6-4. Troy Tulowitzki with a 2-run home run. Russell Martin answered with a solo of his own. The Red Sox, last time we checked, led 3-2 on the Orioles. They did have bases loaded. Do you see that score, Elliot? 3-2?
I believe it's still... Did they end up? It's 3-3. Orioles have tied it.
So... That's, again, Blue Jays, either way, they're going to lose a game to somebody if they lose today. Right now, that division could not be tighter in the AL East. In the NHL, some big news today. According to the Ottawa Senators, they had a major hockey announcement. They will be retiring their first number. Daniel Alfredson's number 11 will be retired by the Senators. And in the NFL, Buffalo Bills star defensive tackle Marcel Darius will be suspended 4 games for violating the substance abuse policy. And that's a Sportsnet Tonight sports update.
Brought to you by 65 years of tradition and love. Yes, Lester's Deli, doing smoked meat perfect for all those years. Whether out of the Magic Kitchen at 1057 Bernard or your very own kitchen, tasting exactly at home, like the meat cutter at Lester's Deli came home with you to serve it. You see, Lester's Deli has perfected how to package the love that they have for smoked meat. So when you take the Lester's Deli tradition out of your fridge and drop it into some warm water, be careful to open it a little bit at a time. Lester's Deli will help complete the experience for you. All you have to do is call 213-1313. The bread, the mustard, the pickles, the coleslaw. The Lester's Deli Experience. 213-1313 for the experience and tradition at home. 1057 Bernard. Come see Bill the Legend in his natural habitat. Lester's Deli.
Price.
C'est moi. I'm the guy.
There is not any man like him anywhere in the world.
You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight.
Ding, ding, ding.
With Elliot Price.
Elliot Price.
On 1280 AM, Montreal.
Oh, the deep burn.
Sportsnet Tonight.
Oh.
Elliot Price.
Elliot.
It's on me.
Elliot.
I'm the guy.
It's time to talk Canadian Football League and then football in general. Always nice to check in with the CFL super agent. He is Darren Gill. How you doing, Darren?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How'd you enjoy that gold medal from Canada in the high jump? I guess the whole country was watching.
It was pretty good. It was anticlimactic. Unfortunately, it seemed like it was just too easy. I wish it would have been a little more eventful, but great to see it happen and a good performance.
Jeez. It's not like we're running up like 20, 30 gold medals here, Darren. You know, it's okay. Anticlimactic is okay.
If we're going to win one, let's make it a little bit more meaningful, you know?
Right.
Let's make them work for it. It just seemed too easy. He didn't even miss once.
I know. He's the world champion. He should win the gold medal. All right, very nice there. And Canada looking good in basketball so far here tonight. Rough week for the Riders, says the headline. What's going on here? We talked about this last week. They've been fined $60,000. They had their 2016 salary cap reduced by $26,000. Apparently, they got caught doing what teams do, right? I mean, that there's not a whole lot. There wasn't a whole lot going on that wasn't done. So why are they being penalized? What's going on here? I do not understand.
I think there was two things. So it started off with Bo Levi Mitchell really exposing the situation, and that really brought the whole situation to light. I mean, when you have one of the league's superstars calling out a team, it's going to get some media attention. So you couple that with the fact that I think what they did might have been deemed a little excessive. So, you know, there's that old adage, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But I think they might have been cheating a little too much for the league's liking. So, as I said last week, I think John Murphy, the assistant GM, knew what he was doing. I think that he bent the rules. I didn't think he broke them. But obviously, the league felt like they had a little bit of egg on their face, given the fact that this went public and so many media outlets, you know, namely Justin Dunk and also Scott Mitchell, who's at West, broke the story that they felt like they needed to impose some sort of fine. So, you know, Chris Jones basically said, well, I hope the league cleans up what some other teams are doing. And I think that, you know, the league has left, you know, basically let the other teams do what they're doing, and the Riders pushed a little too far. So, unfortunately for the Riders, a lot of negative attention, and more importantly for them, right now, the performance on the field hasn't really been good enough to, you know, to distract fans. So the off-the-field stuff's really getting more attention.
With the CFL super agent Darren Gill, are the other teams in the Canadian Football League now going huddling together and said, well, we better stop doing this, this, and this, because now everyone's under the microscope?
Yeah, I don't think the microscope's really there, unfortunately. And if you actually, you know, look at what happened with the situation in Saskatchewan, you know, I don't think the microscope was that strong either. So had it not been for, you know, potentially Bo Levi Mitchell and you know, a few of the media outlets, maybe this would have kind of went unnoticed or at least unpenalized. So I think that, you know, teams are stretching the limits, you know, on a minor level, but not to the point that Saskatchewan was. And I think they're going to continue to bend those rules because the league doesn't have the resources, you know, to actually send people around and monitor things. So every team pretty much governs themselves. And you know, again, I think everyone's playing within the rules, but just bending them slightly.
Henry Burris this week made the news, obviously, with his comments towards the panel. But he mentioned that he didn't want to take them back because he's earned this for turning around so many teams in his career. Do you believe that he has earned the right to do that with all he's accomplished in the CFL?
You know, I think it's, you know, the big question is how much has Henry accomplished? And, that, you know, there were some stats thrown out as to how much he's really done. And trust me, I think he's a good quarterback. But I think his comment with respect to turning teams around, you know, might have been a little outlandish just based off the fact that some of the teams that he went to were actually doing okay, or in fact, some teams actually went in the wrong direction. So Ottawa's a great example, obviously, of a turnaround. So you've got to give him credit for what he's done there, especially at his age. I mean, he's been playing some good football. So I think what's interesting, if you look at, you know, kind of the legend of Henry Burris, is that, you know, potentially he hasn't gotten the same respect that some others have gotten. And, you know, I'm not saying he's in the Anthony Calvillo stratosphere, but he certainly is a future Hall of Famer. And, you know, I think he's been getting a hard time only because, frankly, he's been inconsistent the last few years. But if you look at his last year specifically, you know, that was the best season he had of his career. So one of those guys that probably deserves a bit more respect, and he was fired up. So certainly made for good TV.
All right, let me see. On August 8th, Darren Gill retweeted a New York Jets tweet of a couple of signings, Anthony Kelly and Christo Bilicchiti, and the waving of Julian Obioha and placing wide receiver Chris King on the reserve did not report list. What do these people mean to you?
So I represent Christo Bilicchiti. So Christo's a Canadian defensive lineman. So it's kind of a case of good news, bad news. He signed with the Jets. He'd been with Washington in the offseason and actually a few days ago decided that it was time to move on. So he's actually got some ventures off the field and he's, you know, he's decided that his body's at the point where, you know, he wants to save what he's got. So he's actually stepping away from the game. So that was a good tweet, but, you know, I guess not as good news, but depends how you look at it. He's happy and, you know, he's had a good, you know, career in the NFL so far. He'll make his pension. So as his agent, I got to be happy and, you know, moving on is something that just happens in the game.
Daron Carter's appeal is set to be heard tomorrow. Is this something that should be decided before Friday, or is there a good chance he won't be playing in that game for the Alouettes?
You know, I guess you have to back up to why it's taken this long anyways, right, in terms of why it's taken, you know, several weeks to get to this point. And, you know, I think if it was any other league with you know, I don't want to say with more resource, but, you know, maybe with more of a sense of urgency, this would have been decided a while ago. So the Alouettes obviously got the benefit of having Daron play for them and for the time being. And I think it would be, you know, it would make sense if the decision is definitely brought forth before the game is played because, you know, my concern, frankly, is, you know, this becomes a bit of a sideshow if he does play. So I think it might take away from the game if Daron's there and we're watching Daron versus Rick Campbell instead of the actual game itself.
All right, another loss for the Montreal Alouettes, losing 23-12 against Edmonton. We talked about the game last week, and the Alouettes against a team that gives up a lot of points scored 12 points. Only one team scored fewer points in the CFL last week, and that was Saskatchewan. Now they go to Ottawa. When do we reach panic?
It's a good question, you know, and you look at that Edmonton game and, you know, there were a lot of things that they did so well. And obviously, I mean, you pointed out there wasn't enough points on the board. And I'm not going to blame Kevin because I'm not in that locker room. I don't know what plays are being called and whose responsibilities are there. But, you know, it just seems like there's some things that, that need to be polished. And if they get some of those things right, you know, they could have probably won at least two of the games that they lost. And you kind of start feeling for the team going, you know what, despite the fact that things aren't going that well and the record right now is not what they want it to be, they're close. And, you know, if you're going to start panicking, the question is, what do you do to hit the panic button, right? So if, you know, who do you want to fire? Who do you want to replace? And right now, it's not that obvious. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, pretend like there's a crutch that needs to be given to this team. But, You know, frankly, S.J. Green, who's one of the better receivers in the league, has been out since the start of the season. Kenny Stafford, who was going to be one of the pieces of this dream receiving core, has been out as well. So, you know, you can only imagine if S.J. was there and Kenny Stafford was there, what that would have done to this team's offense. So, you know, there's some issues here that obviously, you know, need to get over, and that's the lack of points. It's the fact that the offensive line is playing okay but not great. But frankly, you know, there's a few reasons why this team doesn't have its pieces together. So you can't panic, because right now there's nothing to hit the panic button for, right? Firing anybody in the coaching staff's not going to make the team better. And, you know, if you want to replace Kevin Glenn, who do you replace him with?
One player that's been really catching my attention lately, watching BC, every news headline with a quarterback in the CFL this year is injury. That's all it's been. One bright spot, Jonathan Jennings has been great, 300 yards in four straight games. I'm not going to say coming out of nowhere, but is this guy going to continue to keep this up, or is this just kind of a good month for him?
Yeah, you know, you look back to last year, and, you know, that team went through, you know, a lot of struggles, and obviously, you know, Jeff Tedford did a lot of wrong things, which is why he didn't last very long, but he did a few right things, and one of those things was making sure that Jonathan Jennings got a chance to stay on the field even when Travis Lule was healthy, and obviously Wally Bono's identified that that was a great move, and he's a quarterback that they can build on, and he's got a lot of the great tools that it takes to succeed in this league. He's got a strong arm, he works well in the pocket, he can move the pocket, and he's shown, you know, some veteran leadership, even though the fact that he's, you know, not established that veteran status. So he's been fun to watch, and, you know, I think your point is right. You know, instead of talking about quarterback injuries, here we get to talk about somebody who's playing excellent football. So, you know, never want to predict that this guy's going to be a future Hall of Famer or jump to the NFL at some point, but so far in the short body of work that we've seen, you know, he's shown that he can, you know, this is not a March Madness situation where we're talking about one or two games. You know, he's strung, you know, half a season plus together, and he's shown that he can play against the best in the league.
Darren Gill, the CFL super agent, every week on Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Thank you so much. Talk to you next week.
Welcome. Take care.
By the way, the big concert is coming up on Saturday, and I believe that the CBC is broadcasting it like all over the place, right? On radio, on television, everywhere. Tragically Hip, just packing them in all over the country. And just unbelievable. All right, we have one thing left to do, and that would be the big announcement. Big announcement! Breaking news! That's what they said today in Ottawa. Stay tuned for the big announcement. They carried it live on sportsnet.ca. And so the big announcement in Ottawa, because you need to know. Right from, it's not fair to say the horse's mouth. So it's big in Ottawa. What's big in Ottawa? You'll find out next on Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
Elliot Price.
Crazy fool.
Elliot Price.
With who?
Elliot Price.
Illogical.
Elliot Price.
Weeknights at 8.
All right, Canada and France. Game that'll get you to the semifinals in basketball. Canada with a 10-point lead, but in foul trouble already. Good news is that France is missing free throws. And so then they're going back to the line. They're in a bonus. And Canada with a 10-point lead. Still 6 minutes to go before halftime, and that's when you get back to zero fouls. So it's going to take some time. A big announcement in Ottawa today. It was it was the owner of the Ottawa Senators, Eugene Melnyk, letting everybody in on the big news of the day in Ottawa.
The time has come for us to bring some formality
to how we honor our great players. Just over a year ago, July 15th of 2015, we invited a group of individuals from the community, from our media family, and from our hockey organization to become part of a player honoring committee. And it's couldn't believe that we brought structure to this kind of stuff in a hockey environment, but we did. The honoring committee was established to assist in determining who and how to honor the past, current, and future players who will become an indelible mark on our fans and our community. The initial mandate was to define the traditions and parameters which will govern how our hockey players will be honored and how we're going to take care of them to make sure that everybody recognizes forever.
So there you go, Eugene Melnyk announcing that Daniel Alfredson will be the first Ottawa Senator under this program to have his number retired. Here's General Manager Brian Murray.
I've been really fortunate to coach a lot of great players, a number of Hall of Famers over my career, and I can tell you there's none better than Daniel Alfredson. Work ethic, character, the way he played the game. He played right, and he led the right way with many of the young players. Now, Daniel, you have more time to spend with me, and as I said, we'll have lots of advice for the people that we don't have to answer to, really. I think it's a great thing for the organization to have him be an advisor and a helper, and I know the coaches will benefit greatly from him as well. And I would just like to say congratulations to Daniel. Thank you very much for everything that you did for me and for the Ottawa Senator organization.
So there you go. Brian Murray, obviously, had a lot more to say, but let's hear from the man himself. Daniel Alfredson has his number retired. Very special day. Wasn't retired today, but the announcement was today in Ottawa.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Melnyk and Mr. Murray as well, Coach, for the nice words, and the Player Honoring Committee as well for giving me this tremendous honor. I'm extremely humbled. It sounds really good when Mr. Melnyk and Murray and Gord as well talks so nicely what I achieved. All the goals and points, and you know, I played for a long time. You got to get old to be able to do that, but nothing would have been possible without the teammates, the coaches, the staff, you know, family, parents from an early stage. It's that's what comes to mind when I was told that I was going to get this honor. You start thinking about, you know, Mom and Dad, all the time they put in to make sure I could play hockey. All the coaches throughout the years that's had a tremendous influence as well. And that's what makes this really special. So I'm extremely honored and humbled. Thank you very much. It feels great to be back in Ottawa. We officially moved back yesterday. We flew back from Sweden. We're settling here now. And to have this relationship with the Senators and the city of Ottawa for the rest of our lives now, it's a great feeling. And this is kind of the icing on the cake to have this happen in December as well. First player to be honored in this way in Ottawa's history. You know, I thought when I heard about other players that, you know, I've grew up to idolize Boris Salming, who's honored in Toronto, Matt Sundin, Nick Lidstrom, players that I've been around and played with and whatnot. And, you know, when they tell their stories, what a great honor it is and a privilege, it makes it even more important. I think it's hard to really understand the magnitude of this. I don't think I really understood it yet either. I had an unbelievable night here on December 4th, 2014, for my retirement night. Extremely emotional and a memory for a lifetime. And when you get individual acknowledgements like this, it's still, you know, do I deserve this? Is this the right thing for me? I know I tried my best. I worked really hard, but there's so many things that goes into it as well that, you know, I really want to thank everybody that's been a big part of it, you know, from
staff in the locker room, to staff in the offices, and everybody else. So, so on behalf of everybody, I really accept this with great attitude and humbleness, I guess. So thank you very much.
There you go. Daniel Alfredson having his number retired later on in the National Hockey League season for the Ottawa Senators. Meanwhile, Canada's lead is down to 3 at the Olympics in basketball. Referee opened up the other eye. The fouls not long ago were 8-1 against Canada and France in the bonus. Canada's lead was down to 1, but now back up to 3. And so hoping that they will get a few more going here. They're missing their shots right now. 3:40 to go before halftime. And Canada with a 3-point lead against France in the quarterfinal game, needing to win to get to the semifinals and having an opportunity to win a medal. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We thank our guests, starting with our soccer guru, Jorge Sanchez, the Concordia University women's soccer coach, breaking down Canada's defeat today in the hands of Germany. We talked hockey with Andrew Berkshire, a regular on Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price, about the VC kid becoming a free agent and the Montreal Canadiens. Remember, anything interests you, you missed the show, you can always catch us on sportsnet.ca, our podcast on the regular, and you can also find it on iTunes and TuneIn, and it's all over the place. No problem finding our podcast if you really want to hear it. Team number 17 was the Buffalo Bills as we continue our countdown in the National Football League with Daniel Kalis. He'll be by tomorrow night for team number 16 as we begin the top half of the National Football League. And our thanks to CFL super agent Darren Gill. Talking about the Canadian Football League. More Canadian Football League talk tomorrow night. Herb Zerkowski, Big Z, will join us tomorrow night. And we'll talk some baseball and a whole bunch of other stuff. Olympics as we march along. Another gold medal for Canada today. And Canada's lead in basketball, 5 against France with 2:36 to go before the half. Our thanks to Santiago Betancourt for putting it all together. Freddie Iuni over there, the executive producer. On behalf of Grant Robinson, I'm Elliot Price. You've been listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price on CFMB 1280 in Montreal.